Okay, so welcome back. And for those of you that are new, welcome to my podcast, Be You, The World Will Adjust. Today I want to talk about the infomercial. I know when I say the word infomercial, people probably think of things like Popeil's Pocket Fisherman, Ron Popeil. That's for the older set of you that are listening to this. Or any of those nasty infomercials, you know, do you want to get an extra 75 yards out of your driver by buying this thing, or, you know, it slices, dices, does whatever. But, you know, they're all kind of interesting because the thing about an infomercial is it grabs you quickly or else you completely turn away from it. You have absolutely no interest. So the value proposition is very quick and it's very instantaneous. Nobody ever watches an infomercial and takes the 2 minutes to sort of go, I could possibly use that. People either grab the phone and say, God, I got to have that. That's fantastic. Or else they say, that's the stupidest thing I've ever seen in my life. I can't believe somebody would actually pay for that. And it's kind of a, you know, like much of my life, it's kind of binary in its reaction. And it's at the core of everything that I do in terms of my coaching or my recruiting practice. And it's something that came to me later than life. And it came out of adversity of not being able to get a job or be employed or anything else. And, you know, adversity is the mother of invention or something like that, I think is what they say. So I thought what I'd do is just give you an idea how I sort of came up with the concept. And it really led me to write the two books that I've written, the first being How to Hire the Perfect Employer, and the second being True Fit, How to Find the Right Job by Being You. And at the core of both of those books, and the core of my coaching practice, is the principle that everybody in life should have an infomercial. And people often say to me, well, you know, I've got an elevator pitch, or I've got a CV, or I've got this, or I've got that. And I've seen all of those things. And they all have some merit in them. Well, maybe not CVs, because I think CVs are a complete waste of time. I realize that they are convention and that people need to have them and need to use them. But they really don't tell you anything about yourself, the prospective employer. They basically tell them where you've been. It's an interesting trip itinerary. There's no standardization to CVs, and everyone looks at them with great suspicion because it's written by the author, and it's not sort of fact-based type of thing. So I recall one time when someone, early on when I was coaching them, they kept pushing their CV on me, and I sort of grabbed it like it was by the corner, as barely touch it like it was a piece of toxic waste. And I said to them, I said, please tell me, is this piece of paper the best description to get me to know who you are? And they said, no, absolutely not. And I said, exactly. So why would you rely on it? And everybody's fallback always is because, you know, you have to have a CV and you have to do this. And you know, through my own experience and of hiring people either as a principal directly or as an agent, as a recruiter, I have found that it's the same routine whenever you get somebody's CV. You're kind of sitting there, you're looking down, you say, oh, yeah, I see from 2004 to 2006, you were at XYZ Company and you were the national sales manager. And they're basically reading exactly what is written on that thing. And then they, you know, inevitably say something like, so tell me what that was like. And you're left with sort of, okay, how much do I tell? How much do I don't tell? So I came to this point where I couldn't get a job. And what I quickly realized was I couldn't explain to people what they should pay me for. I could tell people that I was president of Wigundi. I could tell them that I was vice chairman of the Bank of Montreal. I could tell them about all these positions, but I actually could not articulate what they should pay me for. And as I do with many of my coaching clients, when I first meet them, I sit down, I take out a money, cash, which not many people have anymore, or use, and put it in front of them. And I said, what should I pay you for? What should I pay you that makes me money or saves me time? And to date, Nobody can answer that question. They, you know, I'm a really nice person. I get along with people really well and stuff like that. And I'm like, those aren't answers to what I should pay you for. Those are things, characteristics about you. But what should I pay you for? And then as I was sort of thinking about, I couldn't answer that question. And the second thing I sort of thought about is, you know, when I look back over my career, there are some people that I've worked with that was just seamless. It was effortless. It's like, you know, when you meet someone and you feel like you've known them forever, it's that kind of effortless. And then on the other side of the coin, that's the yin. And the yang is, you know, you spent an entire lifetime knowing someone and you feel like, I have no clue who this person is. Like, there's nothing about us that's compatible. And just because we've been sort of friends for a long time, but it's always an effort, right? It's okay, well, I'm going to see Bill or Mary or, you know, somebody, and I got to up my game. But there are other people that you just see and actually just sit there and you don't have to say anything. There's just something. So I thought, you know, it's really important for me at the time anyways, and I've come to learn for lots of people, to really understand what kind of people do I work best with. And then third, along the way, through some trial and error, I'd stumbled on this whole thing about conflict resolution and how to think about conflict resolution. And I'd never really thought of it in terms of how it permeates how people see you. You know, people had always, you know, people talk about conflict resolution. You know, by and large, if you say to people, you know, how do you resolve conflict? 99% of the people in the world, because they think it's what you want to hear, say, oh, you know, I'm really good at compromise, or I'm very collaborative, you know, and very few people say, I'm competitive, I like to win. And nor do very many people say, you know, I avoid conflict, or I'm extremely accommodating, just roll right over me type of thing. But I came to realize over time that how you resolve conflict, as I said, permeates how people see you. And by that, what I mean is, if you're competitive in your nature, as in a win-lose situation, and you go to an organization or to work in a department or with a group of people that are kind of avoidance or accommodating, they don't have a very favorable opinion about you. However, if you are competitive and you go to a place that is competitive, they kind of give you the knuckles and say, nice to have you here, you know, like, let's get in the ring and we're all going to sort of go after it together. And you feel infinitely more comfortable in that environment than you would where you're, you know, sort of basically running all over people. And so there was something to that, and I needed to explore it in my own. And then I couldn't answer the question for myself, what is it I like to do? Like, what's a perfect day for me? Not what the job is, not how much money I'm making, not what the title is, but what am I actually doing? Like, physically doing, you know, do I enjoy cold calling? Do I hate cold calling? Do I enjoy going out and visiting clients? Do I hate visiting clients? And I realized that I'd never asked myself those four questions: what people should pay me for, the kind of people I should work, I work best with, how I resolve conflict, and what a perfect day is. And I should say that is the yin side, and the yang side is what no one should ever pay me for. Kind of people I should absolutely never work with, the kind of people that resolve conflict in a completely opposite direction than me, and the last things that I would want to do on my worst day, or on my perfect day, I guess, you know, would be my worst day. And I sort of was going through this self-actualization period by necessity, 6 kids, and ex-wife payments going at the same time. And I stumbled upon this, and it has become my life's passion to help other people through this process. Because like the title of the podcast says, Be You, The World Will Adjust, I realize people would like to be themselves, but they don't know how. And what the infomercial does is it actually educates you about yourself and gives you something to hold on to that is true. And that is accurate about yourself and enables you to have a different lens on life and opportunities, jobs or friends or wherever it is, and to see it in a sort of a different way. And so as I was kind of cobbling this thing together, you know, I still didn't know how it was going to end up, but I kind of stumbled along the way. So I sat there and I said, you know, like, when I look back over my life and I said to myself, what were those days where you did something or many things and you just came home and said to yourself, God, if I could just do this every single day, what were those days? And those days for me kind of jumped out and they highlighted, you know, recruiting people, looking at businesses, figuring out why they didn't work, and then coaching and mentoring people. And then, you know, I sort of said, well, if I'm trying to figure out who I work best with, maybe I should make a list of the people that I work best with. So I made that list, teachers, summer jobs, everything else, right? And what was it about their personalities? What was it about them that was seamless? And in most cases, they had a high tolerance for highly opinionated people. And then I found this Thomas Kilman conflict resolution test, which I think is incredible, and it's not very expensive, and you can take it yourself. And then I sort of said, you know, well, like a perfect day, if I could do those three things, if I could do recruiting, consulting, and coaching, I'd be a very, very happy camper. So I started to put all of this together. And what I'm going to do in the over a series of four podcasts is I'm going to take you through each one of those individually and tell you how to put together your own infomercial. So I don't want to delve too deeply in each of the sections because I want to give each of those sections their due in future podcasts. But I want to give you a couple of stories about when I first started to introduce the concept of infomercials. And I have a particularly funny one that I sort of use all the time. It was a Friday afternoon, and I get this phone call, as I often do, from people and said, hi, so-and-so suggested that I give you a call. I'm thinking of changing jobs. I've left my job. In this particular case, it was someone in London, England, and they said, I'd like to come home. You know, I'd like to get a job back in Canada. So I said, okay. And I said, so normally what I do is I said, I'll send you a copy of my book because I have a PDF copy. Unfortunately, it doesn't count for Amazon ratings. But I have a PDF copy, and so I'll send it to you. And I said, I'd like you to read the book. And then once you've read the book, take a crack at your infomercial and send me your infomercial. And I kind of, you know, like I did for you folks, I kind of gave him an explanation, broad explanation of the thing. And there's this long pause, and he said, yeah, you know what, I if it's okay, I'd just like to send you my CV. And I said, okay, thank you very much, and I hung up the phone. And he calls back, and he said, you hung up the phone. And I said, yeah. And he goes, but we weren't finished talking. And I said, oh, I said, sorry. I said, let me replay what just happened. I said, you phoned me. You asked for my help for free. I gave you my advice on how I go about giving my help for free. You told me you weren't interested in how I go about helping people for free. You wanted me to help you in the manner that you wanted. And I said, so if you'd like to do that, you can send me a check for $10,000. And then I'll give you all the advice that you want. You don't have to take any of it. I said, but if you're asking me for my free help, then you're going to have to do it my way. So he said, well, I'll have to think about that. I said, do whatever you want. Click, hang up the phone, move along. So Sunday morning, I open my email, and this guy's read the book, and he's done the infomercial. And so I take the infomercial, not his CV, and I send it to five banks. And it doesn't really matter what he was doing in London or what he would be doing here. And by Tuesday morning, I had three of the banks that wanted to see him. Two of them were prepared to fly him over, and three of them wanted to see him. He interviewed with all three of those people. We never sent a CV. After the fact, we sent one. But they were so captured by the infomercial, and they were so captured by the clarity of the infomercial, that every single one of them said, I know exactly who he is or she is. And no one's ever said that about someone when they've read their CV. Nobody's ever said, I know exactly who you are. And yet, I will teach you and I will help you develop your infomercial. And I guarantee you, when you look at that infomercial, you will say to yourself, that's 100% me. And I'm comfortable with sharing that with anybody. And that is going to be my baseline on how people will see me, how they will evaluate me. So what the infomercial will end up doing is it'll create clarity around whether someone needs your skills. It will create clarity around whether they want you as a person, your personality, the way you go about things in life. That story about that gentleman from London, England, I have repeated at least 25 times in the last 10 years, where people come in and they poo-poo the idea. I just rather send you my CV, or I just send my CV. And the ones that I get over the hump to do it, and in fact, it's quite interesting because people then say to me, well, I don't actually send this, do I? And I said, why not? Of course you send it. And I said, you send your cover letter, you send your CV, because that's what they want, foolishly, but that's what they want, so you give them what they want. And then you add the infomercial. And I said, I can assure you, I don't care how many people are applying for that job, nobody else is sending in an infomercial. And I can assure you, you'll get points just for being different. And there will be a clarity around them understanding you versus somebody else. So as I've done in others, and people that have been listening and people know me know that I like to leave you with a thought for a week. Ask your friends, ask your coworkers, ask them what they should pay you for. What is it about you that makes you valuable enough to pay? What is it you do? And don't let them say, oh, you're really nice and, you know, you're at work on time and you always bring cookies in or you do something like this. Like, really push them, right? Really push them. And then one last thing is to think about yourself in terms, what's the best and the worst thing that anybody's ever said about you professionally? And I don't care if it's true or not true, but it gives you a bookend to look at yourself and recognize. And I'll talk about that later on in a future podcast. So stay tuned for the next podcast. We'll be going over each of the sections. What should you pay me for? What kind of people do I work best with? How do I resolve conflict? And what's a perfect day? Have a great day.